Om Shanti. So this is a small, cozy group of angels. I'm sorry that I have to be on the stage and this far from you. It doesn't feel right. So at the least, let me invite you to come forward. That'll make you feel a little better. I give myself permission to rearrange everything on the basis of Dottie's example. She has a reputation. Apparently she even went and met Prince Charles in the Buckingham Palace of England, and they were shown to the drawing room, she and Sister Jayanti. Prince Charles came in and sat down, and Dottie immediately started rearranging everyone and the furniture so that it could be a nice small group. On that basis, I feel I have rights. So our subject today is the authority, the greatest authority. And actually, there's a subtitle to it, which is, and why does it matter? The greatest authority, subtitle, and why does it matter? Why is it important to think about the greatest authority? You know, this word authority always kind of perplexed me. I wasn't exactly sure I was grasping it my whole Brahmin life. So when this topic was decided on, I looked it up in the computer dictionary. Very interesting definition. I want to read it to you. The power to enforce laws demands obedience, commands. I was rather, you know, startled by that, so I looked at a few more definitions and came across a much more user-friendly one. If you have authority, you're the one in charge, and you get to tell people what to do, and you get to make them listen to you. You're in charge, you get to tell people what to do, and you're able to make them listen to you. You make the rules. Authority. And I think we would have all experienced authority too. And in this birth, it might not have necessarily been an easy experience. When I look at my own life, I figure the earliest experience was my mother, our mothers. If you don't eat your peas, you don't get dessert. Authority. You get to tell other people what to do, you make the rules, and you are able to make them listen to you. And if I had done something really bad, say much worse than just not eating the peas, then it was, just wait till your father comes home. Authority. He makes the rules, he gets to tell you what to do. And makes you listen to him. And I think eventually, over time, we can understand the journey that transformed into hierarchy and politics, the authority of politics. Before that was probably the authority of religion. And nowadays we have the authority even of science, as if They call the shots. It's an expression. They are in control. They tell us what to do and can make us listen to them. Authority. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? So before I go any further, I would like to ask three questions, and you have a chance to think about this a little bit, and we can share. So on this first basis, exploring the concept, what do you feel is the greatest authority? What is the greatest authority? Because that's the title of today's exploration. And secondly, what symbolizes that greatest authority for you? If you had to make an image of it, it would be what? The image of what? And thirdly, why is it important to think about these things? Three questions. Should I repeat? Yeah? What, as far as you can grasp it, is the greatest authority? For you, as a Brahmin, at this point in your journey, what is the greatest authority? If you had to use an image for it, what would that image be? And thirdly, why is it important to think about these things? Explore such a topic. So a few minutes just to think about this, and then we can look at it together. Anybody have some exciting answers? That they would like to share? Sanjay, are you there? I don't think he's... Ah, good. Can we have a mic? Oh, anybody like to share? No, it's kind of an exploration, right? Best way of learning is just to put heads together and think. You can introduce yourself too.
So my name's Angela from UK, and what I thought was the authority of experience.
Ooh.
And for me there are perhaps two main ones, knowledge and experience. And with experience, knowledge actually for me is a route to gain experience, and that's the reason we have it, to go into the depth of it. And so experience, and an image might be, well for myself it was dana, that you can see in a person's, in their way of interacting, behaving, and so in dana that would be the visible image that you would see. And I've forgotten what the last bit was, but I just wrote, make it my own. What's the reason for looking into this? So then I can own it. If it's just, otherwise it just remains in a cupboard somewhere in the mind, and I can make it my own it and be it.
Nice. That's great. Thanks. Anyone else? You don't have to answer all three. You can just answer your most exciting one. The authority of experience, Baba talks about it. Yeah? Anybody else? If you want to, you could just shout it from your seat. Time is the greatest authority, and drama is the greatest authority. What? Even God is bound by the drama. Remember that definition of drama, of authority. If you have authority, you're in charge. You get to tell people what to do, and you can make them listen to you. You make the rules. Definition of authority, according to the dictionary. So time, drama, yes. Anyone else? Yes.
We had a lovely retreat here about maintaining that stage.
Mm-hmm. You want to talk into the mic so everyone can hear you?
Hello, my name's Valerie. I'm from Australia. And I was feeling that we had a lovely retreat here early last week, and I was reflecting back on that, and I feel that to maintain our stage of soul consciousness, I feel that would give us a great authority because we're in that and we'll be able to, you are that, you know, you feel that strength, that power of maintaining the stage of authority.
So is the greatest authority soul consciousness? Is that what you're saying? Or it's the stage?
The stage.
The stage. Your stage is the greatest authority. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Yes. Did someone hear that? The greatest authority is? The authority of the self. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like what Valerie was saying, my stage, the authority of the self. Mm-hmm. One last one. Can we get a translation? Can we get a translation? Here he comes. Translator is coming. Okay, the greatest authority is truth. Okay, thanks. Okay, so this is also what I was thinking of. These were the lines that I was, that were unfolding for me when I took up this subject. And so I'd like to look at this a little bit more. The greatest authority is truth. Truth. In other words, what will be our condition when truth makes the rules? Truth can tell us, truth can make us listen to it. Truth is in control. And truth can tell us what to do. The greatest authority. I also think that it is truth. But then, we might have always known that. And we might have also suffered that a lot. Because what is truth? What is the image we have of truth? Is it lightning bolts coming from the sky? Is it bombs and rockets being sent into other people's territories? Authority of truth. Actually, what Baba tells us is that the truth is something very soft, very gentle. Truth is peace. Truth is love. Truth is joy, purity, enlightenment, creativity. That's truth. So when we say the greatest authority is truth, it could be such a different image for us. In fact, I do recall an image that was given decades ago to the power of truth. It's not a oak tree, for example, which we can imagine as so strong, such deep roots, reaching so high to the sky. It's actually a bamboo shoot. You know what a bamboo shoot is? These bamboos by the river. Because when the stormy seasons come, even the oak trees can be uprooted. But the bamboo knows to bow, to bend, to flex. And so it's still standing, even at the end of the harshest storms, which has destroyed all the trees, even the oaks. So what an image for power. What an image for truth, and a greatest authority of truth. Totally respectful, totally nonviolent, and spiritually generous. So, this is why it's probably useful to look at a subject like this. Because though we might have been raised with this awareness that truth means to be good, to be mannerly, to have virtues, still, Baba has explained that Maya is as much an authority as God is. And indeed, the world we're living in, trying to bring the truth of goodness, is one filled with falseness. And we have paid for trying to be honest, or loyal, or cooperative, or respectful. Other people might have gotten much further ahead of us in their careers, our career tracks, relationships, using dishonesty, using selfishness. So, how much do I, beyond understanding how the authority, the greatest authority could be truth, how much do I believe it? How much am I ready to stand by the truth as God has defined it, no matter what's going on around me? How much faith do I have that love is the way? Acceptance is the way. Tolerance, patience, that's the way. No matter how intolerant the people around me, unloving, bossy, angry, whatever. How much? Because I do feel, if we study the Murlis of this last season, even the last Murli, we probably are still failing this greatest authority. We're failing the truth still too much, which is why Baba is talking like he's talking. I personally felt at the end of the last Murli that if you're going to summarize the whole Murli, this is what you would say. Victory for truth. And now is the time for that victory, children. Have you understood this? So won't you please now stand for truth at every moment? Because it's faith which is going to bring victory. But faith in what? It's interesting to think. Faith in the truth. Faith in the truth. We are still falling back so often on untruths, like criticizing, correcting, commenting, seeing defects in others. When did we decide that that was useful? When did we decide that it was of benefit to criticize, that that helped anything? But we must have decided that at some point, because that's what we do. Instead of just embracing, having faith, patience, and expressing compassion, cooperation, support, love, especially amongst the Brahmin family. So, what to do? If it's true that as much as we've understood and agreed that we want to be ruled by truth, we want to be ruled by goodness, we want that authority to win. So as much as we've understood it and we've agreed on it, what to do so that our lives really stand for that now? We take the strength of our convictions. What are we going to need to do? The formula that I started working with, I mean, because you know there are many things we can do, right? You know, detached observer and check and change. What? Did somebody say something? No? So many different things. But I've come to feel that at this point in time, what we really need to do is work with very simple formulas so we can remember them and we can apply them. So I have been working with a formula which is just two words. What to do so that the authority of truth again makes the rules, rules us, tells us what to do, and that's what we do. That's what we obey. That's what we listen to. For once and for all. To really no longer be influenced by all those untruths around us and inside us. What's the method? Two words. Yeah? Be honest. Honesty is going to play an important part in this. Definitely. Definitely. Be honest, which is why Baba says he's pleased. The Lord is pleased with an honest heart. Because how much time has gone by, and still goes by, whilst we blame others for the fact that I'm not happy anymore, when happy is an intrinsic truth of the self. How much time is still going to go by when I'm projecting my own issues on others and seeing just their problem, their defects. So honesty. Sometimes, you know, I got a letter recently from a sister who kind of made a confession. She told me one thing before I left, and in this email, before I left for Madhuban, she wrote me, she said, well, I don't think the situation is as I described it. It's rather more like this. And I wrote her back, thanking her and encouraging her to go into a little bit more detail. What exactly was the difference in the two awarenesses? And she wrote me back with a few details, two or three details, and asked me to please not ask any more questions because it was very uncomfortable for her to write such a letter. And I wrote back and I said, yeah, I know, it is uncomfortable. It's like going in there with a hot needle and uprooting. You know, Baba talks about these thorns. How painful is it to remove a thorn, you know? But the way Maya works, her thorns are even worse because we don't even understand often that we're walking around with thorns. We're in a huge amount of pain. Sometimes we don't even understand that that's the root of us failing our greatest truth, or just trying to manage the pain. And sometimes it's easier just to reach for some more toli or ice cream or our favorite novels or movies, computer, any one of these things which give us a feel-good feeling rather than do this work of understanding the pain and removing it. Hot needle. So honesty. I am responsible for my mood. I am responsible for my feelings. Doesn't matter at all what anybody else is doing. Not if truth is virtue and qualities and it's the greatest authority. Anyone else? Formula. Two words. For coming under the authority of truth for once and for all. Humility. About, that's what Baba spoke about this morning so much. But is that a formula or is that one of many virtues that we have to practice? This humility, like honesty, it's definitely a part of the formula. But what's the formula? Yes? Love God. That's great. That's a formula for everything. It truly is. It truly is. But then, you know, it's not that easy. Have you noticed this? Have you noticed this? We should be able. I mean, he says it all the time. You know, sometimes in Sakam release. You know, does anyone forget their own father? And then we think, gosh, how can I forget him? But we do, again and again. That's why 365 days a year he comes up with 365 day, different ways of reminding us. So it is a formula. It's a good formula, loving God. What is a two-word formula which will help us tune into that love that we do have for the incorporeal one? Because see, the problem is that whilst we didn't know God anymore through the copper and iron ages, we brought in substitutes. And those substitute replacements were more and more gross and physical. So by the end of the cycle, love for us is a very gross and physical thing. We want to see it. We want to feel it. We want to touch it. We want to hear it. And yet God, as Sudeshthiri was saying in her summary, I liked it very much, God is incorporeal. And so God's love is incorporeal. Incorporeal love. What a wonderful title for a book. Incorporeal love, although probably nobody would buy it. They're so scared by the concept of celibacy. But my love for God, I mean that true, eternal, spiritual, godly love would be something called incorporeal love. And when's the last time we were sure that that's the energy we could catch in our hands and work with in our relationship with God? I mean, even devotees and the bhavana throughout all these last 63 lifetimes. It's very emotional. It's very emotional. It wouldn't be incorporeal, godly, spiritual love. So I like that formula very much. And I would say that that is inside the formula I would propose. Yes? Appreciate, study. Very nice. That's a good formula. It's a good formula. And I would say that that's included in this formula that I would like to share with you. So just because I'm watching the time, I will share this with you. And of course, it's all kind of like a play of words. All of these things probably end up meaning the same thing, but sometimes with different words, we have different entry points into the concept. And so we get new experiences or we get new inspirations. So it's an old formula. Baba uses this formula all the time. It's simply full stop. Full stop. But I'd like to unpack that a little bit. Because I feel that, you know, whilst we would have made our efforts to be honest, we would have made our efforts to be humble, made our efforts to be loving, to remember God, love God, all attention was on the stopping. Honesty told me that here is an untruth. I must stop this. I must stop this. So we're good at stopping. I mean, I think we're quite practiced and exercised in coming into the awareness of an untruth, because after all, what do we want to stop? We want to stop the untruths inside me. So we're getting good at recognizing an untruth. We're getting good at stopping that. But you know, if you're on a freeway, a highway, and all you know to do is stop because an obstacle has come, it actually could be quite dangerous, right? What about the people behind you? So stopping really doesn't work all by itself. You can hurt yourself and you can hurt others around you. Especially, I mean, the most obvious way we hurt ourselves when we're just stopping is it could be repression. It could be suppression. And we all know we end up one thing on the outside, another thing on the inside, and that is a very, very unhealthy formula. Especially if it's sustained. So what's so interesting with this formula is the first word, not the second word. Full. What a wonderful thing if stopping could happen naturally and automatically. Which is actually what happens if all our attention goes not on stopping, but on making ourselves full. Making ourselves full. All attention on making ourselves full. Baba calls that ruling power. He talks about two things. Breaking, stopping, and ruling. Putting on the brake means I'm not going to continue on that track. This thought that just came to me when that person walked into the room, that's a thought of judgment. That's a thought of criticizing. That's a thought of the past. This is not the truth. I'm stopping that right here, right now. That's the break. But Baba has always told us, you also need to steer the wheel in another direction. Don't count on just stopping, breaking. But steer the wheel in another direction. Come onto another track. This is what I mean by putting all attention on becoming full. Becoming full. Becoming full of what? Obviously, the truth. The truth. Meaning, it's not so much a focus on this is the wrong track. This is criticizing. This is judging. But what should I be doing right now? What should I be doing right now? Brij Mohan said this a few weeks ago. I liked it so much. He was talking about how we do so much thinking. There's so much thinking now. We think about what happened yesterday and why and what, and we think about what's going to happen and why and what. We think about everything except what is it I should be doing right now. And actually, it's so simple what it is I should be doing right now. I should be, especially if some untruth is threatening my intellect or my heart, I should be reaching for Baba. Reaching for Baba. It's so simple. But are we doing it? Mostly, the way we continue to fail this greatest authority is by trying to understand and analyze and logic our way But really that has to stop now. Because it doesn't work. We would have proved that to ourselves, basically. We have to reach for Baba, which is another way of saying we have to reach for love. Like my brother was saying, love Baba. There are, in this retreat, I think it was in this retreat, someone asked Sudeshdidi in a question and answer session, he said, you know, sometimes I'm just kind of overwhelmed by all this knowledge. Is there some easy way of summing it all up in 3 points? Which is a very wonderful question, because it means, is there some way of summing up the truth so I can hold on to the truth powerfully, not through suppression or repression, and in the process become more true myself? Because that's what faith in truth means. Faith in truth also means that I trust that every scene of the drama is there, the angry people, the unfairness, the injustices, the confusion, the wrongness, it's all there to keep giving me chances to practice going above and being Master God, Master Almighty Authority. Practice truth, which, as we were saying before, is so respectful, non-violent, and generous, spiritually generous. So, what was I saying? 3 points. Didi Sudesh summed it up. She said, yes, here it is. I am a very peaceful soul and pure. I'm a very pure and peaceful soul. I am. That's the truth. Secondly, I am a child of God. I don't know what that means to you, but believe me, it's worth thinking about that. What does that mean? I'm not a child of God like everybody's a child of God, and it's the brotherhood of man. I am an heir child. I'm a firstborn child. I claim the inheritance. I get the inheritance according to the old traditions. It's the elders that get the inheritance. I have rights on God. And I'm not like everyone else. And even if you want to go one step further, the greatest truth, I'm not human. I'm not a human being. This is what it means when we say, I'm moved forward, I'm powered by God's light. Last Merle. I'm powered by God's love. Is there anybody else on the planet being powered by God's light? They do not know Him, let alone do they have that chip which allows them to receive that love. The whole Last Merle was about that. Nobody except you can tune in. You have the intellect, you have the receiver, like a radio antenna, which can tune into that. Nobody else can. And also, it's only now, at this time, that even you can do that. I am a child of God. And thirdly, He's come, He's broken through the skies and landed Himself right in front of me in order to get me back to my beautiful truth. In other words, we're in a partnership. I am not alone on this issue of loving truth, wanting to be true, and imagining, hoping, believing that if I make such efforts, there could be a whole land of truth. Of course, this is the greatest reason why we have to talk about the greatest authority and understand it as the truth. Because unless and until we understand it and ourselves become authorities of truth, the land of truth cannot happen. Right? This land of falsehood will continue on and on and on. And Baba says, if not you, then who? And if not now, then when? So, these kind of things fill me, fill me, fill me. And as I fill, stopping happens quite automatically, actually. It just feels beneath me to criticize, to judge, to work with that old attitude. And also, I begin to realize it costs me the experience of His love. Because, you know, to fill myself, this is everything Baba was talking about in this last Murli. All the Murlis of the season, actually, if you look at it. He was saying, look, children, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, right? But he was saying, look, children, all you have to do is identify the weakness and then disidentify with it, like Miravan was saying. Those sanskaras, anger, bossiness, ego, depression, fear, they are alien. They're not original. They're not the original, the true. So, identify that untruth, disidentify with it. Disidentifying with it is called give it to Him. Baba, I don't need this anymore. This is not me. Your sanskaras are my sanskaras. This is called giving it to Him. And He will come running towards us with 1,000 steps of help. This is courage. To agree that I've still got this untruth in me, to totally refuse to be moved forward by that kind of energy anymore, this courage has the return of God Himself, making Himself available, His light, His might, and it's really magic. How many have experienced this so far? You're just doing the homework, just what Baba's told you to do, and there's change. There's change. That defect goes. How many have this experience? Oh my gosh, you've got to experiment with this more. He told us, you use Amritvela. Be prepared. Go in there with the defect. Go in there with the virtue you want to replace it with. Look it up. There's a book, Virtues of the Soul. Look it up. Think about it. Study it a little bit. What is this? Cooperation or humility. I've made a list of all the defects, all the untruths, and their corresponding virtues. And I'm ready. Each day at Amritvela, okay, Baba, see this one? I'm finished with it. You take it. I don't need it anymore. I don't want anything to do with it. It is nothing. Not the energy I want to be moved by. Beautiful experiences at Amritvela, just for that courage. And then sure enough, in walks the person who could trigger that defect in me the most. And 10 minutes later I realized I was beautiful. I didn't have the wrong thought, didn't have the wrong feeling. I was good. Truth was operating. The untruths begin to stop automatically. Only God's presence in our life can do this. We really have to understand this. We need to fill ourselves with this most fundamental truth. As a pure and peaceful soul, as a child of God, in front of whom He's come to help, I am the target of all of His love. This is the love. This deal He makes with us, this contract He makes with us, it's not something you can touch. It's incorporeal love. He is there for me, but incorporeally. So I have to experiment. I have to try Him out on it. So at 6:30, the Gyan Sarovar Nivasis come for meditation. And so we can do one of two things. You might have some questions. You might have something you'd like to share. We can take a few minutes for that. Or I can share with you a little meditation exercise that I've been doing every once in a while for about a year now, and it always takes me out of the corporeal energy and tunes me into the incorporeal, which is useful because that's our greatest truth. I am incorporeal, and it's on that wavelength that the whole reality of God and His love and the relationship exists. So what would you prefer? Meditation, yeah? Okay, so this might take a little bit longer than 4 minutes, but we'll give it a go. I might have to speed it up a bit, see if you can get this. It's actually quite functional, I should say. And no music. We're not going to have any music because it's really like an exercise. In this exercise, I'm just focusing on my breathing. Which is something they do out there in the world. We usually don't do it here, but we're going to take it up from a different angle. So my breathing in and out. Lungs are expanding, the air rushes in. Lungs contract, the air rushes out. Life-giving mechanism, actually. So I'm just focusing on my breathing. And you know, it's a wonder. And I'm just appreciating the wonder. The lungs expand and life-giving air rushes in. Lungs contract and used up polluted air is pushed out. I keep my attention on my breathing. The wonder of the breathing. And then there's the question. How does this happen? Who's telling the lungs to do that? What's empowering the lungs to do that? I keep my attention on my breathing. Who? How? What? Is it the lungs themselves? They just know and they have that power? But no. A dead body also has lungs. But there's no movement of the lungs. No air rushes in, no air gets pushed out. I keep my attention on my breathing. Is it the muscle? The nerve endings? Do they inform? Do they give the power? But no, even a dead body has muscles and nerve endings, but still, there is no movement, no breathing. I keep my attention on this breathing, the wonder of it. So, who is informing the lungs? What's giving the power? And of course I know. If I step back, I can almost see it surrounding the lungs, surrounding the heart, stomach, every organ, every corner of this whole body. There is a light, isn't there? This light moves all around the lungs and even through it. This light is the intelligence telling the lungs to contract and expand. This light is the power enabling the lungs to contract and expand. This light, so intelligent, so powerful, is the real wonder. It is what is allowing the heart to beat, the stomach to digest, the whole body to function. So where does it come from? And of course I know that too. I trace it up from the stomach, up from the heart, up from the lungs, the throat, the face, and of course there it is. Just above the two physical eyes. A light. A whole sparkling pool of light. Streaming this intelligent, powerful force throughout the whole body. This is me. I am that light. I am the greatest wonder. I am the master of this body, the living being, the truth. And in this consciousness of myself, as light, intelligence, and powerful, I easily come into the wavelength of the Almighty Truth. Baba. God. Mine.